Colson, Ehrlichman, and I started our... This is Friday, December 1st. Colson, Ehrlichman, and I started our meeting on reorganization of the Colson office and relations with his outside law firm, etc. The president called and wanted a report on Peterson, which I didn't have. Then said he had just gotten a study from Buchanan about ambassadors abroad, that 55% were from Ivy League schools of those we had appointed. Then jumped on the shift to the EEC after agreeing to let Rumsfeld go to NATO, which we had discussed with Schultz earlier this morning. And then said to have Ehrlichman and Colson come over, and he wanted to have a meeting with us. So we went over at 10:30 and were there for several hours. He got into the Ivy League thing, saying that our problem is we're just appointing people we know, and all the people we know are Ivy League. So therefore, from now on, we appoint no more Ivy League people, that we have to get some balance. And that led him into the need to quit feeding our enemies. That it's not a question of what a man's marks were in school, but what was his character. That led into some general discussion on personnel and operations. On Jack Miller and Allitt, they can be given commission appointments where we need hardline guys, but that's all. Chafee is to get nothing. Jim Rhodes is to be made chairman of the commission he's on, moved up from vice chairman. Ehrlichman raised the point of weekly leadership meetings with the chief White House assistants as congressional leadership without the president, and that seemed to be a good idea. President made the point that the main thing is to take away from the president's office the burden of doing things that are useless for him to do. Talked about building a new establishment in the Congress, meeting with some of the good young leaders, both Republican and Democrat, who were with us, rather than just the established leadership. Wants to be sure that Clements knows he's not to get any Ivy Leaguers in the Defense Department. That when Porter comes back, he's to come in and see the president, not with Kissinger, so he can Nixonize him before he takes over at State. On Justice, he told Ehrlichman to talk to Berger about Bork taking the Griswold spot. And there was considerable other discussion on Justice. Decided that we should move Santorelli to Assistant Deputy Attorney General and make Dean Sneed Deputy Attorney General for now, then move Santorelli up to that post when Kleindienst leaves. Use Santorelli as the guy to clean out, put Wally Johnson in as LEAA, and figure on possibly moving Mulligan to AG and then to the Supreme Court at a later point. The president wanted to be sure the Cromley piece was sent to all appointees, with a letter from me saying that the president read this column and feels that it's important that you have a copy so that you understand the basis for his concerns regarding the need not to have his policies sabotaged by holdovers in the bureaucracy, and it is your responsibility to see that this doesn't happen. On ambassadors, he wants to be sure we do no Ivy League appointments, that we have at least one or two labor leaders, and then we have at least two blacks that supported us. He's set on Scali for the UN and told me to go ahead and get that worked out with Bush. Wants to bring Jack Marsh into the White House in congressional liaison and as the House Southerner. Wants to confirm Dan as the National Committee Counsel with Colson as special counsel. Colson should charge his regular rate for that. There was some discussion of that. We then got into a general discussion of the Connally for President idea and the point that he's the only one that any of us would want to see succeed the president, and that for him to do so, he's got to run as a Republican, and he's got to make the move now. The president then discussed his meeting with Connally yesterday covering the Soviet gas deal, where Connally's going to put the whole thing together for exploitation of the Soviet gas field by taking the Tennessee natural gas, or Tennessee Gas Transmission, El Paso Natural Gas, who are fighting for it, bringing them together with Brown Root and the other factors and putting a combine together to handle the whole thing, which will make millions and millions of dollars. Also do well for Connally, of course. The Connally for President discussion led to a general discussion of forming a new party. Ehrlichman raising the idea that this is our only chance in the next 60 days or so, and that we should give some thought to it on the basis that you use the Republican Party as a base, but add to it the new majority, use Connally as the focal point candidate, but the president has to take the lead. The president was intrigued with this as a possibility, recognizing that you can never really build the Republican Party into a majority and into a viable ongoing party, and that the only hope for leaving something probably is to do a new party. The question is whether it can be done, and whether we want to really make the effort. I suspect nothing will come of it, but it was an interesting discussion. And as Ehrlichman said when we left, it's one way to get the meeting to break up, which it finally did. I met with Colson afterwards, and we worked out the plan for internal staffing on his replacement unit. And discuss the whole White House staff structure, which I went into further with Ehrlichman this evening and then with Ehrlichman and Ziegler, so we're ready for our announcement tomorrow. I had a long phone conversation with Klein and was not successful in getting him to agree to announce his departure tomorrow, so we're going to announce that he's staying and then have him depart later, which is going to be a sticky wicket, but we'll try to make it come off. As for others, we decided to announce Colson's departure, but not Chapin's, so that we don't tie the two Watergate figures together, as the press would play it. Bush called, saying that Dole was upset today after being calmed down yesterday, because there's a new UPI story, quoting high Republican sources, and giving all the dope on what transpired with the president. Mitchell thought that maybe I should call him and firm up the arrangements, but Bush said he didn't think I should. Scali was all upset because he claims the networks had a leak on his appointment to the UN, which I think was just something trying to smoke it out. So we'll see what develops on that. End of December 1st.